and welcome to the Irish NFL Show. My name is Shane Brennan, and thank you very much for joining us on what is the greatest week of the year. As I look forward to Super Bowl 58 between the San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs, and as Colm, Connor, and Brian are flying off to Las Vegas, I'm still stuck back in dreary old Ireland. But that's great, because I get the chance to talk to John Chapman from the Rush 49ers podcast to preview San Francisco's role in what is a rematch of the 2020 showdown in Miami. John, a quick question first of all, because of course, as we're going into this, I believe the 49ers are the favorites. Is confident a word that could be used to describe how 49ers feel about this game?
It's a hesitated confidence, because I think whenever you look at these two teams, and if you ask 49ers fans, I think that the 49ers are the better team. They're favored by 2 points. The roster is all there. However, you get a little deja vu, and whenever you're going against number 15 for the Kansas City Chiefs, it just cautious optimism is kind of where it's at. So you love what the 49ers have, and I do believe they should be favored, but in big games, the best quarterback a lot of times is all the difference in the world, and it's pretty hard to bet against Patrick Mahomes. So the Niners got the work cut out for him for sure.
I think one of the big differences between what the Chiefs offer on the offensive side of the ball and what the 49ers offer on the offensive side of the ball is the sort of supporting cast, because I don't think there's any question that Patrick Mahomes is probably the better or greater quarterback, to use that word Americans like to use, the greater quarterback between him and Purdy. But when we look at the talent that the 49ers have got across the roster, Christian McCaffrey, Debo Samuel, Juszczyk, you know, so many other guys on the offensive line is pretty strong as well. I think that looking at that kind of talent is what makes people, I guess, believe in the 49ers more than they believe in the Chiefs. And look, I got to hold my hands up here. I've been backing against the Chiefs every step of the way. I thought I thought they'd beat the Dolphins, but I said, they ain't going to beat the Bills, and they did. I didn't think they'd beat the Ravens, and they did. So I think, you know, I don't know whether there's a lot of people like me who have backed against the Chiefs and I look at the Niners and go, okay, this is the best team that the Chiefs have faced so far. Talent across the board is there. You know, this wide receiver core can really be explosive for San Francisco, and I think that is probably reason for, to be confident. Am I overselling the Niners here a bit?
No, I think probably one of the biggest differences between, you know, the Dolphins, Bills, Ravens, and the 49ers is that the 49ers have had sustained success in the playoffs since Kyle Shanahan showed up. He's the third most winningest coach in 49ers history, and they have a very rich history. You look at Brock Purdy. He's already got 4 playoff wins, you know, under his name, despite still hasn't even started for 2 years. So the roster that the 49ers bring, so much veteran experience with Trent Williams, George Kittle, Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, Debo Samuel. You go on and on and on. These are guys who have been to this game before. And so I think that's one of the things that separates them from a Jacksonville or a Buffalo or a Miami. They're kind of the new kids on the block still, because if you look at the AFC, it's been, you know, you've got Bengals and Chiefs, and that's it. But the 49ers have been here. And so now, have they got the trophy? No, they have not. But experience matters. And I think that brings a lot to the table, because whenever Patrick Mahomes goes against these teams in the AFC, he's never lost. He has lost in the Super Bowl. And so I know, Shane, you're a Patriots guy, and I know you're rooting for them to lose again. And I think it's going to come down to the wire. And can Brock Purdy do something that Patrick Mahomes has never done? Brock Purdy's made it to the Super Bowl in his second year in the NFL. Brock Purdy couldn't even, Patrick Mahomes didn't even do that. Purdy is the 8th quarterback in NFL history to accomplish that feat. Can he go home and get that championship? That's the only thing that he is missing. And I think I'd be a little bit happier than you, Shane, but it's right there, man.
Just for those who are listening, before we went onto the call, I'm wearing a Patriots jersey. I said it out my soul that Patriots fans are probably not wanting the Chiefs to win this one. But, I mean, it's a... Look, we're all, as a neutral observer, we're always trying to observe what is going to be a good game. And honestly, you were mentioning Brock Purdy there, and I think it's a good reason to focus, because, like I was saying to you before, I write for a newspaper. I'm writing a piece this Saturday, focus on Purdy, and I really don't know what way to... I haven't finished it yet, because I don't know what way to lean on him, because at one side, I look at how Davies played against the Cowboys earlier this season, the way that he didn't shake when a comeback was needed against the Lions in the NFC Championship game, the way that he held his nerve against the Packers in the divisional round. And then I remember, or I still have some four scars when I remember the four interceptions thrown against the Baltimore Ravens on home turf on Christmas Day, or at least I think it was a Christmas Day anyway. And like that to me is scary, because we look at Steve Spagnuolo and Spag's ball and how the Chiefs have set up defensively. You can't say they haven't been impressive. Like, that's the one thing that has really stepped up in the Chiefs since last season. So I don't know whether I think that Brock Purdy is, you know, going to be the kind of person who will keep steel, or whether there's a chance that he could make a lot of mistakes like it did against Baltimore. I think, is there a lot of fear around Brock Purdy, or?
I don't think it's fear. Brock Purdy struggled in the rain. That was an issue. You go back to the Ravens game. I think he had like six tipped passes, and it seemed like every single time they got tipped, it landed straight to a Baltimore Ravens, you know, defender. So is that going to be your game plan, to tip as many passes as possible? Maybe it is, but that's something that he really hasn't done. You look at the touchdown to interception ratio, much better than Mahomes, but you're right. Spagnuolo, I think, is the second most important person in the Chiefs organization in this game. I put him ahead of Travis Kelce. I put him ahead of Andy Reid even, because I think Mahomes could run that offense on his own. Spagnuolo is the wild card, and he has one of the best defensive coaching jobs in the NFL this year. It's been incredible. Now, it doesn't mean that Chiefs defense is flawless. It has weaknesses. While they're great at limiting explosive plays, second fewest explosive pass plays in the NFL, they're the worst team in the NFL whenever you look at just an EPA average against the run. Well, what do the 49ers want to do? They want to run the ball. In fact, right now, Brock Purdy's projected to have eight fewer pass attempts than Patrick Mahomes. They're very different philosophies, even though Andy Reid and Kyle Shanahan are kind of regarded as the offensive geniuses or the best offensive play callers in the NFL. Andy Reid has no problem throwing the ball 40-plus times, whereas Kyle Shanahan, everything is dependent upon the run. So, Shane, to bring it all back, we're not worried or afraid of Brock Purdy in the system. If Kyle Shanahan sticks to the run game, which has been an issue, hasn't been an issue this playoffs, but if he sticks to the run game, I think that kind of mitigates a lot of what Steve Spagnuolo can bring, the highest rated blitzer on first downs, all those things. How do you stay ahead of that? You run. You run right into the teeth of it. I want Christian McCaffrey to get 30-plus touches. I think that's kind of how you solve that issue.
30 touches is quite a lot for a running back, but I think if anybody can really make that explode, it's Christian McCaffrey. But I think before we move on to talking about Christian McCaffrey, I want to finish on one final point around Brock Purdy. Depending on what way that the 49ers have gone this season, you turn on the TV, he's either the next Joe Montana, or he's just a stooge in a system where you can pretty much put Mickey Mouse in there and he'll do the same job. Now, obviously, they are both very extreme points of view. But in terms of the message around Brock and how he might be listened to it and how he might be reacting to it, do you think all of the doubters is pushing him on to play better each week? Because the more people are expecting, especially, I remember last season in particular when he first came on the scene, with every week everyone's expecting for him to drop off the way that, I guess, Tommy DeVito kind of did this year for the Giants, you know? People were talking as if, oh, well, he's going to drop off at some point, and he never has. There has to be a part of the I guess, trying to prove doubters wrong that is pushing him forward.
It's huge, you know, from coming in and being Mr. Irrelevant, which he embraced, you know, he kind of, his whole all shucks mentality at the presser, you know, at press conferences, it's unflappable, you know, and that's just kind of who he is. He's a man of faith, which regardless of where you stand, that's his foundation with how he handles everything. You know, Nick Bosa was talking to him after the NFC Championship in the locker room, and Nick Bosa asked him, "Did you know that you were going to be this good?" To which Brock Purdy said, "You know what? I thought it'd be better. To be honest with you, this is just a game." And so you don't make it something bigger than it is. And I think that's where Brock Purdy has kind of settled to where other players haven't, is because he doesn't make this a big deal. He really, really doesn't. His family, his faith, that's kind of his thing. And this is his job. And he's handled it beyond well, and pressure does not seem to show up to him, because you look at the divisional game against the Packers or the NFC Championship against the Lions, he was just ice cold. down the stretch and did everything that he needed to do to come back and win in the playoffs, which that's crazy. Two come from behind victories in back to back weeks. And the 49ers had bad games. They shouldn't have won either one of those games, but they did because Brock Purdy did whatever it took, whether it was running huge plays down the stretch, managing the clock. He did it all.
Yeah. And look, I've certainly been impressed by everything he's done. And I like that when the pressure keeps building up and building up, I think Brock Purdy's kept delivering. But now we're into the final stage where I think regardless of what happens here, I think people should have sort of given more respect than he's been getting. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, if he throws an interception in the fourth quarter, despite having a great 3.5 quarters, there's going to be a lot of negative talk around him, which I think is just a sad reality to how we talk about things these days. But I think the Niners organization are happy that they've got their man, which is something that a lot of organizations around the league can't say.
And to be fair, like, again, you go back to 2019 when the 49ers were in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs again. They had Jimmy Garoppolo. None of the comments about we have our guy, we have our man, which Kyle Shanahan has said, this is the quarterback of the future. None of those things ever entered into the conversation, despite us being the one seed that year as well. Like, this is a different time. And so even if Brock Purdy went out and had an exact mirrored performance to Jimmy Garoppolo in his fourth quarter woes versus the Chiefs, which eventually led to the losing of the Super Bowl, I don't think that this fan base would feel the same way. I truly believe that the faithful, the 49ers fan base, is 100% behind Brock Purdy no matter what happens. Even if we did lose this game and it was a blowout, whatever else, I don't think that this is a fan base. They have fully bought into the Brock Purdy experience, and he's going to be the quarterback here for a long time coming.
Yeah, and look, and we can say this, we could say this probably about the Chiefs and about a few other teams around the league. I think the San Francisco 49ers are a team for the future. It's not like when the Rams came into Super Bowl 2 years ago and mortgaged their future for a one shot at glory. I think the 49ers have great foundations moving forward. And one of those great players is, of course, Christian McCaffrey, who is already being talked about as, I believe, the favorite to be MVP. Certainly, if the 49ers win the Super Bowl, it's expected that he will carry that title. I mean, you said you wanted to see him carry the ball 30 times.
I'm betting pretty big on CMC winning a Super Bowl MVP.
We got an early tip there. I like that. But I think the only thing is that I'm afraid of, I guess if I was looking at it from a Niners perspective, is that whenever the Niners offense hasn't gotten going this year, it's because the defense, and again, I'm going to go back to the Ravens game because that's effectively how it was done. If they find a way to stop Christian McCaffrey, then the rest of the guys probably don't pick up quite as much. Is it true to say that as Christian McCaffrey goes, the 49ers go on offense?
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement. It's a pick your poison. What Shanahan's probably at his best at, you know, everybody talks about the Shanahan-McVay scheme and all these things. But at the bottom line, it's almost like the 1990s Chicago Bulls triangle offense is the best way that I could, like, yeah, I know this is a basketball reference, the Phil Jackson, all that stuff, right? But the problem is,
we've all seen The Last Dance, so at all the basketball references you could have made, that's the best one.
Let's go, baby. Let's dive down this. And so the issue is this. Kyle Shanahan could turn linebackers and put them in a spin cycle. So if you're going to overcommit with your linebackers and your safeties or your nickelback to kind of corral Christian McCaffrey, which is fine, you can do that. The problem is you're opening yourself up to windows that will allow George Kittle to have gigantic plays. We saw that in the Packers game. You can allow Debo Samuel, who will be pressing that same area. You got to pick what you're going to sell out to stop. And so if the Chiefs come out and Spagnuolo's game plan is, look, Christian McCaffrey's not going to beat us, which is what they did to Jimmy Garoppolo, is they said, look, we're stopping the run. We're going to sell out to stop the run. Jimmy G's going to have to beat us through the air. Jimmy couldn't do that. That's never been who Jimmy Garoppolo was. If they do that, Kyle Shanahan has no issues just saying, look, Brock Purdy, you're going to throw the ball 40 times. He doesn't like to do it, but he has done it several times. It's not the way he wants to do it. But this team's not as one-dimensional as it used to be. And yeah, Christian McCaffrey's my bet for Super Bowl MVP if the 49ers win, for sure. But that's fine. You want to stop the run, they don't mind throwing it to him. I would not be shocked if he gets 6-plus targets in the passing game, and that's harder to stop, especially if you blitz as much as Spags does.
Yeah, and we were talking about the previous Super Bowl when Jimmy Garoppolo was leading the Niners out and in Miami a few years back. And even I was reading the San Francisco Chronicle earlier this morning, and Kyle Juszczyk was saying that the 49ers sort of held on to that loss for a while. It took them a while to get over. Whereas now, not only are they back at the game, they're playing the same guys. Those guys who were still there 4 years ago are still knocking around. It is a part of the narrative around this game. But I think more has changed with the 49ers than it has with the Chiefs. And I was watching America's Game, the story, the 2019 Kansas City Chiefs, and the way that they were talking about trying to do it for Andy Reid and all this kind of thing. And just going back over the game and seeing how they scored 21 points in the final quarter, which is just an incredible way to stress things out, that the Niners couldn't, were grand, and then managed to fall off. Do you really think that the Niners can learn from that experience, or is there too much change? I know a quarterback obviously being the main one, but is there enough change for them just to come at this with an entirely new approach and to not be bringing this baggage of revenge in? They're just going to go at this as a new thing against a new opponent.
Yeah, I don't think that really that's going to be the case, this revenge factor. And I think for some people that need that edge, Debo, I can see that, Nick Bosa, I can see that. But you're playing against completely different people. It's brand new corners. It's brand new offensive line. Brand new, like, everybody's different. And you even have a completely different defensive coordinator if you're the 49ers. DeMeco Ryans and Robert Saleh were the guys on the sidelines back then. Now it's, guess what? Veteran Steve Wilks, probably one of the most calm, cool, collected people in the NFL, that coach. Like, he's unflappable. And on top of that, the one thing that Steve Wilks is kind of at his best, which a lot of 49ers fans have been frustrated with, he's a second-half adjustment coach. That's just who he's been all year. 49ers have allowed the fewest points in the fourth quarter in the entire NFL as a defense. Now, you look at the Kansas City offense, they beat the Ravens. It was incredible. But Shane, they scored 0 points in the second half of the AFC Championship. It's not like they're going out there and lighting the world on fire. They're winning with defense. This is not going to be a shootout. That's just not in the cards for the Kansas City offense. They haven't scored over 30 points since November. Like, they're not the Lions, they're not the 49ers. They have to win low-scoring games and just methodically move the ball with as many passes to Travis Kelce and Rashee Rice and Isaiah Pacheco as possible. So if you're the 49ers, man, you go out there, punts aren't a bad thing. Just don't turn the ball over. This game should fall in line with the script that you want it to be. Punts aren't bad. You don't have to go out there and put 30 points up against one of the most electric offenses that were the Lions. This is a different type of game. This is slow, calm, cool, collected, which is what Brock Purdy brings to the table.
And we were talking about the Chiefs offense, and again, for a different thing I was running for the paper, I basically stated the fact that the Ravens shit the bed when it came to their game plan against the Chiefs. I don't know what to say. It was just, plan A was something that worked for them all season, and they went for plan D for some reason. It was just remarkable. And look, the Chiefs will do what the Chiefs do. They will listen to the negativity around that and people talking down Mahomes and talking down the Chiefs and how they got here. And they will build a siege mentality from that. But from a 49ers point of view, when you're marking your car and you're watching how the Chiefs offense is getting on and you're seeing how the Niners defense stands up to them, who is a Chiefs player who you are really keeping an eye out for that if they have a good game, they can really make the difference? Other than Patrick Mahomes, I think we all kind of understand it. That the way he plays would be important. But in terms of running backs, receivers, tight end, who is it that you are afraid that if they have a good game, they could really put a number on the Niners defense?
The guy that I would highlight would be Isaiah Pacheco. He's kind of their energizer bunny that they feed off of. I know it's Mahomes' offense and all those things. But when number 10 gets back there and runs as angry as he does, they feed off that energy. And if they can sustain drives long enough with the run game, which they don't run the ball very much, but when they do, that's huge. Now, here's the thing that's awesome, is you have one of the most physical running backs in the NFL going against Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw, who I would argue probably the hardest hitting linebacker in the NFL is Dre Greenlaw. And so that is just a Super Bowl matchup in and of itself. So I don't know who's going to win that battle, but I can tell you right now, if they could shut down the running game, which the 49ers have not been able to do in the postseason so far, but if they could, this game could get out of hand early. So Isaiah Pacheco being way over probably 60 to 70 rush yards is paramount if the Chiefs are going to win this game at all.
And the Travis Kelce factor, I know it's he's somebody who has been the subject of a lot of conversation Colm, who is over in Las Vegas at the moment, said that there's more cameras around him than there is around Patrick Mahomes at the moment, which is just a crazy reflection of how outside non-footballing activities affect how this game is being covered. But considering the distractions for him personally, considering the talk about him taking a step back because of age, but yet he's still kind of come alive a little bit in the Super Bowl. Do you think that the Niners have a way to shut him down? Because based on all the talk I've listened to, if you do zone coverage, Travis Kelce will find space. But if you find the men to go man coverage, that's how you shut him down. He ain't gonna impact too much. Is that the way you think that the Niners defense is going to approach number 87?
I think the 49ers are going to go out there and do what they've done all year, which is zone coverage. We do have the two best kind of zone linebackers in the NFL, but you would the third and fourth best were the Ravens, and they could not stop Kelce. So that's something they're going to have to try to work with. Now, if you look at the 49ers defense against the Lions, zone first half, second half adjustments made by defensive coordinator Wilkes, come out, play a lot more man. If they do man, I think Tayshaun Gibson, vet on vet, is going to be responsible with guarding Kelce. They don't like to put the linebackers too often in man coverage against the tight end. They do sometimes, but not too often. So in zone, it's going to be Fred Warner and Drake Greenlaw's territory. In man, I think Tayshaun Gibson or perhaps D'Amador Lenore, those are going to be the two guys that I think we're going to see against Kelce. And, I mean, you said it. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's incredible. He's going to get hits. The difference is you can't let him get the explosives. Yeah, they're going to convert third and sixes and second and eights, and that's what they're going to do with Kelce. That's fine. Don't let him get those 30, 40 yarders. Like, you got to limit the explosive plays. Make them do 14 play drives. That's what you got to do. And if the 49ers can manage that, I think they'll stick in zone for as long as possible. If for some reason the Chiefs go out there and score on three or four offensive drives in the first half, I expect man in the second half.
How important is it for the Niners, especially in the first half, to keep the ball in their own hands for as long as possible? So the time of possession, they're not giving the Chiefs that much time in possession or time with the ball. Because a lot of the talk around the way that Kyle Shanahan, as you mentioned earlier, he has a very run-centered way of approaching offense. And obviously, you know, because of the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes, they are probably more likely to do the explosive things. So how important do you think it is for the Niners to run the ball and keep the ball in their hands for a longer period of time over the course of the 30 or 60 minutes than it is in Chiefs' hands?
You know, I do think it's important. Kyle Shanahan doesn't really monitor time so much as possessions. But, you know, just talking time, the 49ers hold the ball the fourth most time of possession in the NFL. You look at the Chiefs, they're the exact opposite. They're kind of right around that 10th area. But Kyle Shanahan's really, really big on second quarter possessions to end the half, then getting the possession back in the second half. You know, he defers. That's kind of what every single coach does in the books. But what I would encourage people watching this, when you get to the end of the second quarter, 7 minutes and below, Kyle Shanahan has different game plans. And what I mean by that is he wants to limit the number of possessions, not necessarily time. He won't allow the Chiefs to get the ball back at the end of the second half. And a lot of times he got a lot of critique for this in the NFC Championship game because he'll play for a field goal. He'll play for a field goal to end the half as long as Patrick Mahomes doesn't get another opportunity to go put points on the board before the half ends. So, yeah, run the ball. You want to be on the field as much as possible in offense, but limiting the possessions or quality possessions of the opposing team, that's what I think the 49ers are going to strive to do.
That's a really interesting way to look at it. And now, even though I won't be betting on it, I'll really be looking at who wins that coin toss. You know, the 49ers win that toss for the second half. That's it. It's a Niners Super Bowl right there.
There we go.
And look, like we're all trying to find ways to see if we can figure out what's going to be different between these teams. I think everyone is predicting the scoreline, say it's going to be pretty close. One aspect of it, which especially if we compare it to the experience of playing in Miami, is the fact that the stadium is on the western side of the United States. It's in the same time zone as San Francisco. It's in Las Vegas. It's only a 5-hour drive. in Las Vegas at the moment. There is a lot of Niners fans, way more Niners fans than there are Chiefs fans, based on what I'm hearing from people in Las Vegas. You know, there is a kind of buzz of momentum that just geographically lends itself more to a team from San Francisco than traveling to Miami did 4 years ago. Do you think that's going to be a factor by the time we get to Sunday, or am I reading too much into this too early in the week?
No, you're right. I'm flying out Friday, right? So I'm making my way out there. And, you know, I was in Miami as well. And the Chiefs, it was their first Super Bowl in 50-plus years. And so that was a different thing for them. And they 100% outnumbered us. I would probably say 65% of the fans in Miami were Chiefs fans. Well, they've been in, what, 4 Super Bowls in the last 6 years? They've made this trip. They've made this journey. They go to Vegas every single year to play their division opponent, the Raiders. So, like, this isn't new for them. So, and it's one of the most expensive Super Bowls. It is the most expensive Super Bowl ever. So, a lot of them are not making the trip, whereas you look at 49ers fans, we've been itching, right? The itch is still there. Kansas City, they've scratched it twice. The 49ers haven't got that 6th ring yet, and that's right there. The close proximity is huge. 49ers fans want revenge. The belief in Brock Purdy, CMC, get one for Trent Williams, all those different things apply. That's why they're showing up.
Well, that's great. There's a lot of Niners fans here in Ireland, and I'm sure they are hyping up. They're listening in their cars now, and you know they're beating the windows of the trains. They're saying "Go Niners!" They're hyping themselves up. Before I let you go, I'm gonna be asking everybody I'm talking to this week for, if not a scoreline prediction, who you think is going to win and what the difference is going to be between the 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, I think whoever gets to 24 first wins. I don't think that this is going to be a shootout. I don't think that the offense is really... I understand Patrick Mahomes and the laser arm and all those things. He has 2 touchdown passes that traveled over 20 yards on the year, whereas Brock Purdy has 12, literally 6 times the amount. I do think you got to protect the ball. There's going to be opportunities for both teams. It's what it's going to be with Spagnuolo blitzing and doing all the robber schemes and, you know, buzz blitzing, all the stuff that he does. Interceptions are going to be a possibility for the Chiefs defense, whereas the 49ers defense, guess what? Probably going against the worst wide receiver core in the NFL. Let's just be honest with what the Chiefs have. Now, Travis Kelce definitely changes that, but just talking wide receivers, a lot of drops, a lot of tip passes. This game is whoever takes advantage of the turnovers and all those things and runs the ball consistently, that's where the win is going to come from. Who makes the fewest mistakes? And it's going to come down to who has the ball last in the fourth quarter, back to that whole possession thing with Shanahan. I do believe the 49ers are going to win, I'll be honest with you, but I would not be shocked at all if the Chiefs come out ahead. They've just done it so many times.
That's brilliant. Well, look, I'm very excited now, looking forward to this, and we have plenty more things to watch out for on the 49ers side of the ball to see what will really make the difference. John Chapman from the 49ers Rush Podcast, thank you very much for joining the Irish NFL Show.
You're the man, Shane.